Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Gentleman who joins us every Monday at this time. Right now, Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
Scott, hey. Of course, writes for the Chronicle-Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. We were talking defense right before you joined us, Scott, and we thought, rookie quarterback, 30 points. Oops. What's going on there? Is it as bad as it looked the other day with Joe Burrow putting up 30, or is there a little silver lining here and it's getting better? What do you think?
Well, I think it's hard to argue that the defense is playing very well when you give up 38 and 30 in the first 2 weeks. But, you know, talking to Kevin Stefanski after the game on Friday, he did point out a couple of positives. And, you know, Joe Mixon, the Browns last year were torched by Mixon. And Thursday night they held him to, I think it was 2.8 a carry. They pressured Burrow. You know, part of that is a Cincinnati offensive line. Part of that's a rookie quarterback hanging onto the ball sometimes. But they got to him. Obviously, Myles Garrett had the big sack. They hit him a number of times. Where they're struggling is when teams say, hey, we're just going to drop back and throw, whether it was Lamar Jackson, whether it's Joe Burrow. And, you know, you look at the 30 points, you look at 5 for 5 on fourth down, they just couldn't get off the field. And that was the thing that Stefanski pointed out and said, hey, if we can, you know, get more turnovers and get off the field, then that gives our offense a chance to score, and that's the kind of team they're going to be. I would say that the hope for the defense is that Greedy Williams, Kevin Johnson, and Mack Wilson are three of your better pass defenders. And assuming they return to health shortly, and I don't know if that's going to be Sunday or the week after, you should see the defense, the pass defense, take a step forward. And if that happens, then I think things will calm down a bit for the defense.
Scott, even though, I mean, the talk of this was shut down yesterday, if you thought you could bring in a Pro Bowl quality defensive player, especially at linebacker, would you trade Odell Beckham Jr. for him?
No, I would not.
No.
Yeah, number one, that always gets a lot of run, I think, even when it's not legitimate. And
right.
Number two, you know, Odell's one of your better players still. I think we're starting to see a healthy Odell, and if you have a healthy Odell, he's a top whatever receiver, top 10, top 12, top 5. I mean, at one time, and it wasn't long ago, people thought he was the best receiver in the league, and he's still only 27. And the third part is, if you got rid of Odell, who's your number two receiver? Is it Kadarius Hodge, who I like as a third receiver? I think he's a good blocker. I think he's better than Rashard Higgins, but that's a drop-off, right? I mean, and it, you know, we had all these talks. Is Jarvis a true number one? Probably not. So, you know, I think Odell's valuable, and I think he probably has more value than just bringing in a linebacker, and I don't care who that linebacker is.
Scott Petrak's joining us. Olivier Vernon didn't play the other day, and he was dinged up a little bit. I would think nothing of it, except Olivier's been dinged up quite a bit. Is there an issue there?
Well, you know, it's so hard with injuries because, you know, it's a tough game. Guys get hurt, and I hate to pin, you know, you hate to pin labels on guys. But having said that, Olivier is getting older. We saw him miss time last year. Now, he missed the time last year with a pretty serious knee injury. You know, I watched him go down on that sideline in Denver from the press box, and you figured he was going to be out a while, and he wound up trying to play a couple games, but pretty much being out the last
half of the season. So this is a different. This is an abdomen. I think you have to take into account it was a short week for the Thursday night game. If it was a Sunday game, does he play? Maybe, because they limited or they listed him as questionable. He did stuff in practice the one time they practiced last week. So hopefully this is just a one-week thing. But, you know, I think it is worth keeping an eye on because you need him to be effective. I mean, they're paying him a bunch of money still, right? It's $11 or $13 million a year for this season to come back. They chose not to, or whether they chose or Clowney wouldn't sign, whatever, they did not go out and replace Vernon. So he's a key part of this defense because teams do respect him. I think it opens things up for Myles Garrett. I like the three-end rotation when you have Adrian Claiborne as a third guy. So Vernon's a key piece of this defense, and you just hope that the abdomen injury is, you know, a short-term thing and that he only missed the game because it was a short week.
How about Kevin Stefanski in game two game plan versus obviously against game one, which was tough? And it makes me want to chalk week one up a little bit to first-time game, first-time everything, and then it's just 4 days later that things look a lot better. I understand there are different teams on the other side, but you did have to expect some issues to happen in the first game. So give me your Kevin Stefanski read game one to game two.
Yeah, I think it was stunning, the difference in the game plans between week one and week two. And you have a good point, Andy. Obviously, the Ravens are a much, much higher quality opponent than the Bengals, especially defensively, right? The Ravens have a big-time defense. And they run a little bit of a different scheme, too. You know, it's a 3-4 as opposed to the Bengals 4-3. And I think that could affect what Stefanski tries to do against them. But, you know, we did not see the misdirection, play action, bootleg that we saw a bunch against Cincinnati. The first two plays of the game were one went to the right and one went to the left, and Baker's out in the open, and he makes a good throw, and you pick up early completions that give him confidence, gives the offense confidence. You just didn't see that against the Ravens. And, yeah, part of it was because the Browns got into such a hole early, but that wasn't all of it. And I don't know if Stefanski was just feeling things out in his first game as a head coach. I have a little bit of a theory that maybe they knew it was going to be tough sledding against Baltimore and were saving some stuff for Cincinnati in the quick turnaround because we saw them work on those plays in training camp and then not run them against Baltimore. So I think the offense you saw Thursday night against the Bengals is what you will see most weeks, if not all weeks, from this offense. You know, Stefanski will say, oh, it's game plan specific. But that's the bread and butter, right? We see that with San Francisco week in and week out. We saw it when Kyle Shanahan was here in 2014. That's what you go to. That's a staple when you build everything around it. So I like that he got back to it in week two. I think it was highly effective. I think Baker is better in that system, and I think that's the kind of system we're going to see from here on out.
Scott Petrax joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. This is not a criticism of Kevin Stefanski because I like this approach. Man, he's as even keel as you get. Win, lose, whatever, he's the same. You know, I can't tell if the team won or lost based on the way he handles himself in a press conference. I like that. The only thing I'll ask is, you hear so many times people say the team plays the way the head coach is, and the head coach needs to inspire his team and blah 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 blah. I'm not a big believer in that, but do you buy that?
That's an interesting question. I don't think I do buy it, and I'm sure Stefanski has fire in him. You know, there's no doubt. I'm sure we'll see him yell at officials this year. I'm sure behind closed doors he gets into these guys. You know, we saw him move Mac Wilson down to the second team after, you know, he took out Nick Chubb in practice. You know, I think Stefanski showed some fire there. I think he just knows that he has to be even keel with the media. I think that's his personality, too. I think he doesn't get too high, too low. You know, you hear this story about when he was in Minnesota, when they went on that crazy, you know, it wasn't a Hail Mary, but the last play to beat the Saints in the playoffs, that everybody's going nuts, and Stefanski's just calm and kind of thinking, okay, do we have to call another play? Those kinds of things. So having that mentality and having that temperament is a good thing, but I don't think that means he lacks fire. I don't think you get to be this level and keep rising through the coaching ranks if you don't have that intensity within you. So I think it's a good thing. I think it's not necessarily a great thing for those of us looking for great quotes after games and during the week, but I think it's fine for the team.
Scott, what did you think of the 6,000 at the game the other night? We haven't had a chance to really talk a whole lot about it. How did that feel to you? Was it weird? I mean, everything feels weird, but what was it
sure.
like?
Yeah, there's no doubt it was weird, you know, when you look out. But I do think the fans added atmosphere. And, you know, I did not go to Baltimore, so I did not see that game in person with no crowd. You know, I've watched plenty of NFL games. You know, I watched a Sunday night game with no crowd, watched a bunch of Indians games with no crowd. But I haven't been in the stadium for one with no crowd. But I think having those 6,000 fans added something. It felt like a game. Now, it didn't feel like your normal game, obviously, but you could tell when something went right. You know, you could tell when something went wrong. The OBJ chants after his touchdown were loud and meant something to me and signified, you know, I don't know if we heard those OBJ chants a year ago. So hopefully everything goes off without a hitch and they can continue to have fans and maybe even more fans. But I think it was great that they had some, and I don't think the players and coaches were just saying it, that they noticed and they felt the crowd was loud.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle Telegram. Let's go back to the defense. You looking to bring anybody in? I mean, we've been talking about that for too long. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen here. Are you looking? Should they be looking?
Yeah, it's interesting. Jeff, I just posted a mailbag, and I had a couple people asking me about safety and Ronnie Harrison. And to me, it's a linebacker and safety are the two areas, right? And we've been talking about them yep. since March, probably. And you hope when Mac Wilson helps the linebacker crew, and they brought in Malcolm Smith, you know, still not the depth you're looking for. Taki Taki missed a few tackles. There's a night you still wonder about him in space. But I don't see a huge move being made at linebacker, especially with Mac coming back. It's safety. I wonder, because I think they hope Ronnie Harrison is the answer, right? Without Grant Delpit, can Ronnie Harrison come in and either replace one of, you know, Carl Joseph or Sendejo, or just augment them? You go to a three safety rotation. I think they'll give Harrison that chance, but if he doesn't show it in the first couple of weeks that he's playing, and I would think that would start Sunday against Washington. Now he's been here 3 weeks. You get the long time between Thursday night and Sunday game. Then I think you might have to go out and find a safety. And, you know, I think, Jeff, you mentioned it a while ago, Eric Reed is out there, and he had a really productive year for Carolina last year. Started every game, had 130 tackles, 4 sacks. And he's played a lot in this league, and he feels like a guy that can come in, step in right away, and be an upgrade there. So, to me, I give Harrison a couple of weeks, and if he doesn't show it, and I still think I have a weakness there, I would go see if Eric Reed wanted to come in and play.
Scott, you've
been
up for this week? What do you think about the Browns against Washington?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I think it's kind of similar to the Bengals matchup. The Browns are pretty big favorites. It was 6.5 when I saw a line last night. You're at home, which obviously doesn't mean what it used to, but it still helps to be at home. A young quarterback. You know, I like their coach. I was surprised that they won week one against Philly. I think yesterday against Arizona was kind of more the team you expect from Washington. I mean, when you look at the schedule, this is a game the Browns should win and need to win, and then the schedule gets harder. So, you know, given the extra time from Thursday night to Sunday night, I don't think there's any reason to think that the Browns shouldn't win this game against Washington.
Scott Petrak, thank you very much, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, man.
Scott joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.